I'm going to start out now with this statement. This is a very positive, uplifting message that God, I feel like, impressed me with Tuesday. So when we start out in this opening 3 minutes, it is not to be sensationalism. It is to make a point. And don't let it guide your thinking like someone's about to be exposed, but you'll understand the point after we make it. In Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read verse 7 and 8. And the word of the Lord declares, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things." Well, that's an awesome promise. "And I will be his God." Hallelujah. He's already my God. How about you? "And he shall be my son." We are the sons of God. "But the fearful and the unbelieving," this is what God does not want his children to be. And when you look at how normal God is, who would want a child to go through life fearful? Who would want a child that could not believe what their father told them? "And the unbelieving," who would want an abominable child, murderer, whoremonger, or a sorcerer, and idolaters, and all liars? And I want to focus on that for just a moment. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God richly bless you. You may be seated. I want to reveal this morning that the one thing that is the very hardest place and point to get out of people is truth. And having been raised by people in law enforcement and married a woman whose father was FBI, we have learned that the hardest thing to get are facts. And the problem with that is that many times if we are given incorrect input, it's just pretty really pretty hard to have right output. It's hard to formulate correct opinions when that you've been given is incorrect. And therefore, lying or liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire. And Tuesday, I had a life lesson that I felt like God nudged me. I can't ever tell you God spoke to me. That's been a very few times in 32 years. But I felt like he nudged me to share something with this congregation. And I will have to tell you the incredible love that God has for you. You need to understand God is for you and he loves you. And this is exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to separate you from that. And what I am needing to do this morning is reveal the biggest liar I know. And it's not Satan. It's going to shock you to find out that this person attends this church, and it's also going to surprise you that he has spoken to every one of us in this building. And I have cornered him. He won't repent. You're going to find out this liar has never had the ability to always tell the truth, but at times will. That's why it's so deceptive. And this liar has deceived more people and wreaked more havoc on lives than history will ever be able to record. So our job as pastors and under shepherds to the good shepherd is to identify the liar for your own welfare and your own good. And this one that walks with each of us and has deceived us and all men throughout the ages at one time or another is something that you need to be aware of, because it reigns and rules in all of our lives if we're not educated against it. And the liar is our feelings. Probably nothing more dangerous than one that becomes dependent upon their feelings. Because feelings, at times we have gut feelings, intuition, and it can be correct. However, if it was always correct, Don, we could stand at the roulette table and we'd be quite victorious. Gamblers, at times, are hooked on a feeling of thinking. They can beat odds, and odds are proven they cannot be beaten except through the miracle of God. And this word feeling, of course, obviously, if I would just stick on it, the word feeling is the nominalization of a verb, which means to feel. And if we go back to the roots and the conception, the inception of the word feeling, it's first used in the English language, and it is given to us to describe the physical, obviously, sensation of touch, to feel something. However, you and I both know that is not what this message is about today, what to touch. But it's about our feelings, which psychologists, when they use the word feeling, It's usually reserved for the conscious subjective experience of emotions. And many of the schools of psychotherapy in our country depend on the therapist to achieve some kind of understanding of their client's feelings, because until feelings are understood, usually a cure can't come forth. So I just want to ask the question today, how do you and any listening feel right now? Now, probably if you have tuned in and you're listening to our podcast and you've not gotten to enjoy the time of worship we've had and the time of uplifting and encouragement through the presence of the Lord we've had, you haven't caught up to where we are right now, because most of us in this room would probably feel pretty good right now, or at least better than when we came in. I find it an amazing thing that when I read my Bible, I feel better. In 32 years, I've missed very little church, and that's not to brag on me. It's because I'm such a wicked man, I have to stay close to the cross or I get in trouble quickly. But I will tell you that I feel better when I go to church. We were going to be in Arkansas this week in a little country town called Russellville, and there is a group of people that have been called back to the Hebraic understanding of the scriptures. It's an incredible thing that even when we're on vacation, in the joy that all of nature and hiking and all those things can bring, it's amazing how going to a service with other believers makes us feel better. I want to read a story this morning. It's a story about men that are under an extreme amount of stress. Stress does affect our feelings, but they're seasoned people. And I feel like the reason that God has allowed my mind to feel a nudging to teach on this subject this morning, I am qualified. I've lived enough of life to have been through a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings. But this story that I'm about to read you is about men who were under a tremendous amount of stress, but their feelings are never did they allow them to surface or to speak until they had taken those feelings and filtered them through God's word or God's faith. This is what God is wanting to teach us this morning. He's wanting to teach us not to trust our feelings ever until they first are laid upon the word of God. And what they did is then they let God's faith talk their story, which then shaped their walk. And you'll be very familiar with this. I'm going to read out of Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Don't even need to quote it. You already know it. It's the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they answered the king whenever he said, you're either going to, you know, worship or you're going to burn. And they, it says, so they answered King Nebuchadnezzar and they said to him, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we've thought this through. But if it be so that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now this morning, in the adult class, I had a phone call. And when I picked up the phone, I guess some of you already know, NORAD is tracking 12 blips that are coming in. And they're supposed to arrive here in about another 10 minutes. And what they are, we won't know until they hit America. So it's an interesting time that you're sitting in right now. The person said it's on every TV channel. I don't know how many of y'all can pull up TV on your phone. And so having said that, what I just did is tell a huge lie to you. And it probably changed your feelings. And I did that to the Sunday school class this morning. Actually, the 12 blips are Santa Claus has left the North Pole for all your kids. It's the reindeer. See how relieved you are now. So what I'm trying to point out is this. We really don't understand the truth of the story of what these men had to feel whenever they were looking at this fiery furnace that was consuming anyone. And in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, we can be faced with such awesome situations that will cause us to manifest a list of feelings. Can I read to you just a sampling for a moment of some feelings? And I think that you will then understand why God has nudged this church this morning to be set free from some of those, all of those, except for four. We have feelings of indifference. And this is going to be rather lengthy, but hold on, you'll get the point. Insensitivity.
Nonchalant, neutral, reserved, weary, bored, preoccupied, cold, disinterested, lifeless.
We have feelings of being afraid, and they manifest as fearful and terrified and suspicious and anxious and alarmed, and we panic and we're nervous and we're scared and we're worried and we're frightened and we're timid and we're shaky and we're restless and we're doubtful and we're threatened and we're cowardly and we're quaking and we're menaced and we're wary. We have feelings of hurt, which means we are feeling crushed and tormented and deprived and pained and tortured and dejected and rejected and injured and offended and afflicted and aching and victimized and heartbroken, agonized, appalled, humiliated, wronged, and alienated. And then we have feelings that come out in our being of being sad, where we are tearful and sorrowful and painful and grief and anguish and desolate and desperate. We are pessimistic, we are unhappy, we are lonely, we are grieved, we are mournful, we are standing in dismay. And then we have feelings that come about and rise in our spirit man, into our flesh man, of anger and irritation, and we're enraged and we feel hostile, we feel insulting, sore, annoyed, upset, hateful, unpleasant, offensive, bitter, aggressive, resentful, inflamed, provoked, insensitive, infuriated, cross, worked up, boiling. And if we're not careful, we wake up with a feeling of depression, of being lousy and disappointed and discouraged and powerless and diminished and guilty and dissatisfied and miserable and detestable and repugnant and despicable, disgusting, abominable, terrible, in despair, sulky, bad. We have a sense of loss, and we feel then that we are in a feeling of confusion and upset and uncertain and indecisive and perplexed and embarrassed and hesitant and shy and stupefied and disillusioned and unbelieving, skeptical, distrustful, misgiving, lost, unsure, uneasy, pessimistic, intense. And that brings us to a feeling of helplessness, where we have these feelings of incapable and alone and paralyzed and fatigued and useless and inferior and vulnerable and empty and forced and hesitant and despaired and frustrated and distressed and woeful and pathetic and tragic in a stew, and we feel dominated. And you wonder why we're talking about feelings this morning. Because there are more words in the English language that a writer can use to help you understand the pertinence and the relevance of a story, that many times how we view it, our feelings, are what give weight to that story. And just so we can perk us up, we've had enough negativity, let me give you a few things that I believe we will accomplish in what God wants us to learn this morning, because He wants you to be open and understanding and confident and reliable and easy and amazed and free and sympathetic and interested and satisfied and receptive and accepting and kind. He wants you to be happy where you feel great, joyous, lucky, fortunate, delighted, overjoyed, gleeful, thankful, important, festive, ecstatic, satisfied, glad, cheerful, sunny, merry, elated, jubilant. He wants you to have life and feel alive and playful and courageous and energetic and liberated and optimistic and provocative and impulsive and free and frisky and animated and spirited and thrilled and wonderful. He wants you to feel good and calm and peaceful and at ease and comfortable and pleased and encouraged and clever and surprised and content and quiet and certain and relaxed and serene and bright and blessed and reassured. And be strong in the power of His might, that you can feel impulsive and free and sure and not rebellious, but unique and dynamic and tenacious, and a positive attitude of eagerness and keenness and earnestness and intent and anxious and inspired and determined and excited and interested in life, where you are affected and fascinated and intrigued and absorbed and inquisitive and snoopy, and that you are someone that loves and become the feeling of lovingness and consideration and affectionate and sensitive and tender and devoted and attracted and passionate. Feelings reign and rule. And feelings can dictate your life. And the only way feelings won't dictate your life is if you have something to lay life on that is the way and the truth and the life. And people that say stay slaved, enslaved to their feelings, are on the roller coaster of life and can never find that place of contentment and joy. I want you to understand, Tuesday, I was on my way to a certain meeting, and I recognized the fact that I was running late, and I recognized the fact there was probably no need for me to go. And in all sincerity and all truth, I'm big on my gut feeling, and it's probably because I have such a big feeling. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of us are in that same boat. And because I have become so good in my own mind
at my gut feelings, Jerry. I knew there was no reason to waste my time to drive the remainder of the 50 minutes to get where I had to be. And three times I knew, turn around, gas is expensive, but I didn't. And from the moment I sat down at that place until the moment I picked up and left were some of the most prosperous moments my life has ever seen. And it went 100% against everything my gut feeling was telling me. And I'm here to share with some of us this morning that what you think to be fact and what you know in your knower to be true, if you don't lay it on the Word of God and you don't allow truth to come forth, you can very rarely be right because of your gut feeling. And if you're someone that's going to live and you see the range of emotions and feelings, there are so many things that daily can be provoked into our life for good and bad that can dictate our whole hormonal makeup of that moment, that God Himself has given us the way and the truth and the life, and He's given us something we can trust, and He's given us something that's always correct because He's a Father that will never give wrong information to His children. You can trust in the Lord. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but you've got to take your feelings, nail them to the cross.
Yes.
And learn to rely on God and His Word alone. You are either a spiritual thinking being or you are a feeling.
It's good, Pastor. It's good.
And I've got to tell you, I was so embarrassed at myself to be 60 years since I was conceived and to fall into the trap to where I almost missed one of the biggest blessed days of my life. Because I had convinced myself there was no need to complete the journey. If you've ever had a day like that where you were amazed by how off your feelings were, just raise your hand in this congregation. And if you had one, you can have more. So God wants us to understand in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. The Hebrew children had so equipped their mind with the Word of God that facing an unbelievable situation, whether it's incoming missiles being trapped by NORAD or a fiery furnace, either way you're going to melt, that they recognized it really doesn't matter if God delivers us or if He does not deliver us. My feelings have nothing to do with my faith. And you've heard me make that statement so many times, and God's trying to amplify that in our minds this morning. We need to teach our children that you cannot run your life by feelings. You cannot build your life on what you feel. Who you think you are is not who you are at all. Who you need to become is someone that walks in the Word, and what the Word says you are is who you are. We as kings and priests need to quit what? We need to quit fighting our feelings and we need to return to the Word of God and recognize there's only four feelings the Word of God asks us to major on. And when we come to a place to where we recognize the four feelings God has given us to recognize, even though this may have been the worst year of my life in ministry, I feel more close to God. I feel more confident of my mission. I feel more confident in my calling. I have a greater understanding of the work that lies before me than I've ever had. But if I would walk in my feelings, the spirit that would desire to shut you up and set you down would cause you to see Huffman, Texas in your rearview mirror. But because we have not been one that have been raised to go by our feelings, we are people of faith and we believe in the Word of God. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, I fought a good fight, Timothy. I have finished my course because I never learned to trust my feelings. It doesn't mean that you won't have those feelings surface. It doesn't mean those feelings won't come. It is unbelievable to me how people will never question a statement's made to them and it creates a feeling and they receive that feeling and then they act on it and never examine it in the Word or anywhere else. We are more guilty of being manipulated by feeling than any other thing.
And so the truth of the matter is, therefore, when Paul is writing Timothy, he's letting him understand, it doesn't matter how I ever felt. I held on to faith. And what I became was what faith told me to become, not what my feelings told me to become.
My God, I'm preaching to me this morning. Hallelujah.
Feelings loose from faith in a believer's life will always fail. I need to say that again. A believer that becomes feeling led, feelings loose in a believer's life will always bring them to failure. 2 Samuel chapter 11, I want to read four verses real quickly. Verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, here's a man after David's heart. You already know the story. But the point I'm wanting to bring out is, Paul said, I have fought a good fight because I kept fighting. You never arrive as long as you live in flesh. Because no matter how much fighting you've done to maintain faith, it is never extinguished the fact that you live in a body of feelings. And if you do not continually fight feelings, whether you've lived for God 40 years or 4 minutes, you will lose the battle. And therefore, this story is started out. We know David fell with Bathsheba. We know it was by the lust of the eye. We know he wanted what he saw, and men are wired that way. We can get into all of that medically and make excuses and bring out the mercy and the love of God, which I totally believe in. But the point I'm wanting to make is, the story starts out that it came to pass after the year was expired, when kings go to battle, David decided that year not to. And when he quit fighting, just like Paul said, I fought a good fight because I kept my feelings at bay and I always walked in faith. This example is to show us how God's best. David, when he quit fighting, what happened? His feelings took over. And any time our feelings reign, we fail. And the only way I can know if I'm making a correct move is to lay that move on the Word of God and see if it aligns with the thought process as laid out in the manual called the Bible. God understands, totally understands, the deception of our intuitions and our feelings. This is why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, he says, we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling. And it means what I expressed feeling means earlier, of our infirmities. He calls those feelings infirmities. Because feelings are what leads to problems. But yet, even when we give in and we allow those infirmities of feelings to manifest, we are tempted to follow our feelings. He is still boldly and lovingly say, approach the throne and you're going to find help in your time of grace. Now, why could Christ, who purchased the mercy seat, was our mercy seat, how could he possibly make a statement like that? Well, my opinion is it's found in Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 44. And if ever there has been an example of what I'm teaching that I feel the Lord nudged me to examine for this morning's lesson, it's these scriptures. In Luke 22, Christ, who said, now come boldly with your feelings, which are infirmities. I'm paraphrasing or changing the word a bit. And he was withdrawn, speaking of Jesus, about a stone's cast. Here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus kneels down and he prays and he says, Father, if I do what I feel, I'm not going to go to the cross. If I allow my feelings to manifest, I will flee. And the feelings were so overwhelming, the Bible goes on to record. He says, you know, if you be willing, remove this cup. God has to send an angel to Christ himself to make sure that he is so strengthened that he can overcome the panic, the fear. I mean, you would be fearful too if you had ever witnessed what he witnessed is done to you when you're crucified. It's one thing to have a bullet through the head.
It was another thing to be stripped naked, nailed to a cross at the side of the road, and suffocate in your own juices, a poor, miserable, agonizing, most painful, excruciating death there is. Fear gripped him. Feelings gripped him. Embarrassment gripped him. All the feelings that you and I have, because he was in all ways tempted. He was as much a man as you and I are a man. And therefore, the feelings is what had to be overcome, because he had a promise of a great future ahead of him, just like you and I, as sons of God, understand and balance what I'm saying, have a promise of a great future ahead of us. And if we did not have the fact of the future, we would all flee for our feelings, because our feelings tell us there is absolutely no purpose in what I'm going through and having to manifest faith versus me stepping out and doing what I want to do, what I see to do. And God had Christ pray until it were great drops of blood. And if my high priest had to pray, as it were, until it was great drops of blood, do you not understand why Paul said, it's been a fight, but I've kept my feelings at bay all this time? Sometimes we have to keep our feelings at bay on how to deal with other Christians. Sometimes we have to keep our feelings at bay on how to be married. Sometimes we have to keep our feelings at bay on the person in line in the grocery store ahead of us that has 28 coupons to buy 3 items. Sometimes people just step on our last nerve. Sometimes we'd like to use some biblical words out of text. Sometimes our feelings want us to step out of Christ.
Come on, that's good. That's true.
Yes. I give up. That's a feeling. That's not faith. And I'm trying to bring to someone, to all of us, to me this morning, that you're natural to have those feelings. You have total liberty in this house to feel the way you feel. But you have no liberty to act the way you feel. You are to bring those feelings under subjection. You are to prove to God, the Father, that your faith is in His Word, and that your response ability is built in the cross of Calvary, and that your emotions and your will have become under subjection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And therefore we will not retaliate. We will not rebel. We will not revile. We will not become embittered. We will not fall into all the range of emotions that lie within the domicile of our flesh. But we will be overcomers as kings and priests that have washed our mind. And whether we make it or whether we don't is immaterial, but we will show up and bring those feelings under subjection. And until you understand, the greatest liar in your life is your feelings.
Amen.
Wish every person could hear this preached by someone that could do it justice.
An interesting story, true story. When President Lincoln commissioned George B. McClellan as the Major General of the Union Army, it's interesting because the Major General, George McClellan, who had just been commissioned, immediately wrote his wife a letter. I guess his phone wasn't working. Letter writing's a lost art, isn't it? And history got a hold of this letter, and it's very interesting because it can be used for such a beautiful story. And so when President Lincoln commissioned George McClellan as the Major General of the Union Army, General George McClellan writes a letter before he's ever even received the total commission in front of his men. And here's what he tells his wife. He says, "Dear, I do not feel any different than I did yesterday. I indeed not yet put on my new uniform." I'm reading it as it was written. "I am sure I am in command of the Union Army. However, because President Lincoln's order to that effect now has been signed, his faith in his commission was greater than the feelings he had. And what he felt that he could not do before was changed by what the position and the uniform that the President commissioned him with. His feelings were then transformed by the word of one that was superior to him.
And every time he would look at himself in the mirror with the uniform on, even though he may not feel any different, he had total different amounts of authority that lay at his hands, and he could choose either to exercise that authority by putting the uniform on and walking in what had been given him, or he could continue to feel the way he felt. I am trying to get through to somebody this morning that greater is he than your feelings that's in you. Greater is he than your humanity. Greater is he than your last mistake and your last sin. You are a king and a priest of the Most High God. You are a child of the King, an heir of salvation, who all things are possible to they who believe, who can lay hands on the sick and the sick recover, who can cast out demons. You are he that can do all things through Christ who strengthened you, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask and you think. But you must see yourself in the uniform and speak as you've been commissioned to speak, and no longer rely on your mundane feelings. And what we are to learn from that is we need to get the mirror of God's Word out.
Amen.
And this sermon, and the subject of this sermon is God Gives the Unction this morning, covers any situation your life's going through. It is a universal truth of His Word. This uniform of authority that we've been given to put on, that we clothe ourselves in, which are the promises and the trust in His commission. Not my feelings. If I ever did what my feelings told me to do, there'd be a lot of dead people. Strike that from the record. If we ever did what our feelings, you'd be in jail for child abuse. I mean, just fill in for a moment. So what portion of your feeling do you allow to live? You've already responded, and I understand by your response that you would never beat your child bloody, even though you might maybe have thought of doing that. That you would never do away with your in-laws or whomever. But because you have crucified certain feelings that you know are very irrelevant to walking in life, you have not finished casting out all the enemy that lives in your promised land. And this is exactly what Israel was guilty of doing, is not casting out all the enemy of their promised land. There are only four emotions you are to recognize. Four feelings. And anything else that does not come under the heading of these four feelings in their proper place has not been issued as an order to a Christian. Nor is it commissioned under the uniform of the Holy Spirit that indwells us and that we've been clothed in. When I was going through my problem of having enough oxygen, I became claustrophobic. And there were a few nights when, if you've never experienced this, this will make no sense at all, but I've spoken to others and they've said they had the exact same feeling, that I almost would want to run out of my house in my underwear, jump out of the covers, and just try to breathe, because suddenly there wasn't enough oxygen in the room. Now that feeling lied to me, and I had to speak to myself right then and right there and say, my wife seems to be breathing all right. The canary's not dead. There is oxygen in this room. But if I would have followed that feeling there, I'd be in my underwear in the front yard. Wouldn't you love to see that? Feelings will lie. Important feelings will lie to you. And therefore, even when others are feeding your feelings, you learn to weigh everything through the Word of God and not your feelings. Now, I'll try it like this. Bernardo, when we were in Sicily, I think it was. Yeah, Sicily, with you, not Crete. So we ran that little car. And tunnel after tunnel as we drove the coast trying to get back to the volcanoes. Long tunnels. Well, I was in the middle of dying, I thought. And so I took off for about 4 years, for those of you that don't understand. And when you look at my Facebook page, it's because all I'd ever done in my life was work. And I'm still paying on credit cards for all those trips. But I want you to understand, I was not going to let this beautiful woman
me leave her life until I showed her the world. And I didn't care what it cost. And that's the truth. But I was, the doctor said, you'll always do this. And I knew when I tried to do that, I wasn't fit to be a husband, fit to be a pastor. The medication made me something I'd never want anyone to have to become. And so what I did is I just went. If I fall over dead, I fall over dead. Let the bears eat me. Don't worry about my body. It's a great day. I went to heaven. And I said that to say this. So as we're driving that coastline with claustrophobia in my heart, which was beating 300 and sometimes a minute, that as we would enter the darkness of the tunnel, I couldn't even get in an elevator without having to talk to my feelings. Has anyone ever had a panic attack? Well, long panic attacks are a bummer. I understand alcoholism. I understand drug dependency. I understand fear. If I hadn't had faith. But the reason I could drive through the many tunnel after tunnel after tunnel is even though we would enter the darkness in an enclosed space, I knew in just a twinkling of an eye, the light would appear on the other side and I would come back into a broad place and I would be all right. Do you hear that? You see, as we learn to take our feelings and speak to them through faith, God will show you the other side. And once He's shown you the other side, He doesn't want your faith to be in your feelings while you're getting there at all. He doesn't want you to be in the darkness of what is oppressing you. It's good stuff, isn't it, Bernardo? You've been there, haven't you, brother? And so what we see is we see the fact that even though I may be driving through the darkness and even though I may feel the oppression, that's not affecting my feelings any longer because I have already known there's a light at the other side and I've already been given the hope of where I'm going, that this too shall pass. Therefore, I'm able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because my feeling is brought under the fact of the faith of the Word of God that tells me it will come to pass. There is an open light place. When we come to church, I can change my feelings. In Psalms 150, if I read these real quickly, 1 through 6, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with psalter in the heart. I hesitate to tell this story, but I'll tell it. It's a parable. There was a woman that worked in an office. And she went to her psychologist and said, I hate him. I'm going to slap him. I'm going to spit on him. He treats me with such discontent. I despise him. He's the worst thing that ever happened in my life. He's worthy of what I do to him. And the psychologist said to her, well, let me tell you what. If you really want to get to him, do you really want to get to him? She said, yes, I do. The psychologist said, then here's what you do. For the next 2 months, you show up early. You have coffee and donuts or whatever he enjoys on his desk. You make sure that you do a better job than you've ever done. You treat him with more respect than you've ever treated him. You stay late. Help him put his coat on. Ask him if there's anything else you can do. And you do that for 2 months. And then after you've done all that for him, you let him understand you're the biggest, worst thing that ever happened in my life. You are a low-life, scumbag, bottom-eating. And then he'll realize what he's really losing. Psychologist told her that. So for 2 months, she changed her actions that they would not align with her feelings. And because she changed her actions at the end of 2 months, she got a raise and decided this was the greatest place that she had ever worked. Because she no longer was feeling driven, but it put faith to her actions. Do all things as unto the Lord. Amen. Probably one of the best messages you've let me preach in a while.
I read Psalms 151 through 6, and I read them with feelings that aren't appropriate for God. So I can read Psalms 1 through 6, and I can read them with praise God of the sanctuary. And as I do this, every one of us, when we get to verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And what happens is, we change our feelings. Now, I'm closing. And if we haven't caught anything else, this is a life lesson God wants you to receive. So what happens to a Christian is a good thing, because we learn to rest on those feelings that we have in church. And we come to church, and the reason that churches grow, and the reason that churches go, and the reason all of this has to do with how it makes the people feel. And so we come and we've heard the Word this morning. We've heard this uplifting message, the truth of the Word of God. He loves us. All that's true. And we've done a right thing. Our feelings are different. We already feel better. It's almost as good as the pills we get from the doctor. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't understand the purpose that God wants us to receive this message this morning, it is not that we rest our feelings on the church service. He wants us not to learn how to rest them on what goes on in just these four walls. But while we are learning to rest in praise and worship, He wants us to learn to rest in praise, worship, and the Word. But it all is to we learn to rest in Him, Christ Jesus. And therefore, we recognize the fact that our relationship with Christ is greater than our church service feelings in this house. That every place we go, we are in the house of God. That we are the temple of God. And therefore, we have been given the ability to stand in front of the mirror of the Union Army anytime we desire and look at the outfit that God has said He's put on us and the authority that He's given us and overcome our feelings and begin to change our actions to where this goes from being a miserable sucking life to a life that is the greatest thing I've ever known. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made, because I've escaped my feelings. The Bible gives us four feelings and emotions we're always to embrace. Love. Joy. Hope. And this last one's going to shock you. Hatred. And any time that I am built on those four emotions, I know that I am laying my faith in the Word of God, regardless of the circumstance. Because that fourth emotion of hatred is exactly what fueled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to speak such language of faith. Because the only thing you are to ever hate is what God hates. And that's every evil and every false way. And if you have not learned how to hate every evil and every false way, your other feelings are going to suck you into what the church world is being sucked into. And you will accept what God hates that will pollute the rest of your emotions to where you will continue to be feeling led. Not faith inspired. We've got to learn to lay all these liars that control our flesh on the promises of the commission of God's Word. We've got to learn, if you'll stand with me this morning, to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've got to learn to stand before the mirror with our uniform on. We must defeat our feelings by encouraging ourselves from God's Word. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? You've got to encourage yourself with God's Word. You are not unique. The enemy has tried to get you as a lone sheep. He's tried to separate you from the flock. And once he gets you away from the flock, he knows that you will not hear the words that you have come to rest in, of the love and the mercy and the compassion that others have experienced and the overcoming that God has given to others. Just as Catherine got up this morning, an ex-junkie, 25 years ago, now a beautiful child of God, ministering to people. I'm trying to express today, she is an overcomer of what she felt and walking in her faith. And this is exactly in Judges 20, 21 through 22. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah, and they destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Now, the people of Israel had been given a charter. They had been given a commission. They had been given a uniform by Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, by the mighty God, El Gabor. They had been given promises of His Word. And therefore, the people that had been beaten down and the people that had been slaughtered and the people that had been abased, they came together, the men of Israel, and they encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. I am trying to speak to somebody this morning that maybe you have suffered a spot of defeat. And what God is trying to bring into your life at this very moment is you to get back with the troop of Israel and encourage yourself that you can walk back into that place of defeat because of your feelings and put on the uniform of the Most High God and begin to look it in the eye and speak. You've got to fight for it. Because you are so stinking normal, you're just like Jesus. And had we had to face crucifixion, we would have probably fled. But He hung in there as our example. He said, these are some mighty powerful feelings I'm having. David's feeling didn't lead him to pray. He led him to Bathsheba. But we understand feelings can lie for the will of God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 6 through 8, David comes back after taking the men to fight. And you know the story well. And he was greatly distressed. Are you distressed this morning? Are you condemned? Are you concerned? I can go down the list of emotion. The list of feelings that one thought will evoke. And before long, that one thought will lead you around like... And the people spake of stoning him. David got alone with God, and what he did... What did he do? He encouraged himself. You know what that means? He encouraged himself. It means he changed his whole feelings about it. Encouraged is exactly what God wants to do to us. And I'll close with this scripture. In Joshua 1, they're going into the promised land. They're told you've got to rout all the enemy out of the land. The promise is yours, but the enemy's there. Your land is this body you live in. It's been made out of dust. And the enemy's there. You know what the biggest enemies are? It's those that you feel. Your feelings, your will, your emotion. You're not fighting the devil out there. You're fighting he that's within. In the way that it triggers our feelings. And therefore God says to Joshua, He says, have I not commanded you? You've got to be strong and you've got to be encouraged. That's what good courage means. You've got to be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you wheresoever you go. This morning, that is exactly what God wants you to know. He is bigger than your feeling. And the negative thought that has been brought to you, you have been trying the enemy to place you in a dark spot where you develop the old-fashioned negative into a picture that you see is going to come upon you. And the truth of the matter is, if you follow those feelings, it might. But if you will get beyond your feelings and see the end of the tunnel and understand that no weapon formed against you can prosper. If you'll pick up the sword of the Spirit, if you'll clothe yourself with the outfit of the general, this altar is open this morning to anybody that wants to put on that uniform again, anyone that wants to understand, it's time I take a stand and I fight. Would you come to the front of this building and allow God to clothe you and empower you again and speak to that thing that your feelings are bathed in faith, that the facts of your future will change. God richly bless you.